Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin, and yet I say unto you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. And I repeat again, for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. The last time we were together on Wednesday night, we looked at several passages, one spinning off of 1 Kings chapter 20, about the story of a man under a narrative who was said to be busy here and there, and his prisoner got away. Basically, here was a man in this story narrative that was distracted by something. He was given, as most centuries are, one primary responsibility, relieved from all other duties that would tend to distract or deflect, and failing that, his prisoner got away. The illustrations that we used were in Matthew 27, where a pilot received some information from the leadership that something that Jesus said about rising again on the third day. And of course, Pilate says, well, you have a watch. Make it as sure as you can, which the soldier did. And the variable in that was that in the 28th chapter, whenever they did get word that the tomb was open, they gave him large money and said, if it ever comes to the ears of the authorities, we will secure you. We looked into Acts chapter 12 also last week, where Peter was in the custody of two soldiers. And of course, the Lord brings him out of prison, and the prisoner's gone, and in the 19th verse of that chapter, it is reported that the soldiers, because they let their prisoner loose, were put to death. So we understand that to fail in that one primary responsibility was a capital crime worthy of death. We also note that in Acts chapter 16, when the apostles were cast into prison, the jailer was charged to keep them. And of course, when the earthquake came and all the bands were loosed and the doors were slung open and the jailer woke up, he concluded what would have been an obvious thing, that all the prisoners were gone, and therefore he was about to commit suicide, because he knew that if he didn't do that, somebody was going to do him in. Crime, of course, capital crime. He failed in his responsibility to keep his prisoners. We also made the comment that busy distractions cloud focus. And if one is too busy to do the one thing required, then he or she is potentially derelict. And we then drew a line to Matthew 22, verse 37 to 40, where to love the Lord your God with all your heart, that's primary. And there's a way to do that. I might say. We also know that it's really strange how things, immaterial things, tend to busy us. And so I bring you here to Matthew 6 just to give you a bit of advice and to give you some means in hand by way you may be encouraged to do something that is so profound. But the doing of it is absolutely very simple. Something I learned to do a long, long time ago, before I ever went to college, and my first employer coming out of the service required of all of his agents that on Friday night, or actually Friday before noon, before anybody left the office to go for the weekend, They had to take a routing list and make a list of 100 people, established clients, that they were going to see the following week. Before you leave the office, you show your boss the routing list. Essentially what that was a high class to-do list. And so as you're thinking about making the list, back in the days, you know, you had to mentally think through where they lived. And so the list was constructed sequentially. Closest to home, and then it would progress to the next. Consist of 10, 12, 13 items, but if you do a daily do list, you need to prioritize so that you can focus on what's most important. And I look at this verse 33 in Matthew 6, where it says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." Now, there's where busy enters in. Busy. Most of you probably, from the time your feet hit the ground in the morning, you're on the move, doing something, going somewhere. And if you're not going somewhere, you're thinking about what has to be done today, this, and this. And you set about your day to accomplish all that. And the problem without making a list is two or threefold. Number one, it's always to your benefit to know in advance what you must do. Secondly, it's always an advantage that after the day is over, you can look back, see what you've done. And the problem that you will have, like most people, is you get to the end of the day and you'll see a bunch of stuff at the bottom of the list that you didn't get to. And you say, surely there's a better way to do this. I don't seem to ever get done what I need to get done during any one given day. And I would encourage you again, as you look at verse number 33, that as you consider a do list, that you prioritize with the most important thing and descend from there, seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And the promise is that all these things, you can take your pick among the things that are enumerated here in this passage that we just read, all these things shall be added unto you. Whoever wrote the book of Hebrews said in chapter 11 about he that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. A lot of people's plans seem to go nowhere from day to day to day because they eliminate the most important thing of all before anything else is done, and that is to seek God. Now, many people say, I get up too early to make a good conscientious stab at a meaningful relationship with the Lord. I put it off to sometime else in the day, maybe a lunch break, or maybe after supper, maybe before bedtime. But I want to, without trying to sound too dogmatic or autocratic, I want to suggest to you that in my opinion, my humble opinion, that the very first part of the day is the best part of the day in order to set and calibrate your doings for the entire day. And it has always been to my benefit to have some kind of a list to do. Now, you can get so good at it that you don't necessarily have to write it down because you know exactly what you've got to do during the course of the day. Most of our lives are pretty common, humdrum, boring. And you do the same thing Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday that you do Monday. And it's, and maybe there are some surprises that are thrown in providentially by God. And when that occurs, we must understand that it is God who is providentially intervening in your life for a purpose. And so let me share with you just a well-grounded theory that I probably told you before, and if I have, forgive me for repeating myself. You're likely to hear more stuff over the course of time that I've said to you before, but it is a truth that one of the things that we all share in common is the same amount of time to live every day. We all have the same amount of time. We are all stewards in God's kingdom ministry. I use kingdom in the broadest possible sense. And we are responsible. We are responsible to utilize the time as stewards well that God gives us. It is good that we seek God first, and then whatever's next, put on the list and proceed, seeking the blessing of God in the doing of it. And be armed with this promise from day to day, from week to week, and month to month, and it's this, that God will never give you more to do in any one day than He intends for you to accomplish. And if you get to the end of the day and you find that the list is longer than the time that you have available, you're never to become frustrated over that. Because you and I live in the hand of God. And so be sure that whenever you wake up and you face the daunting tasks of all the day, and you say, look, I can't possibly get everything accomplished that I need to do today. And you fail at the most important thing of all is when busy becomes God. And you become an idolater. If He's not first on the list every day, where do you put Him? Get to the conclusion in your own heart that you don't want to speak to another human being. You don't want to hear another human voice on any given day until you first heard His. Period. Now, you've got to be flexible enough to understand that God sometimes just turns all of our plans upside down to do what He wants to be done. But He will never give you more to do on any day than He intends for you to accomplish on that day. It is when we get into problems, whenever we add things. And I would rather have more to do on my list than I have time to do than to get halfway through the day and run out of stuff to do. You know what I mean? And I guess some guys make a living at that too. But I would rather have more to do in any one day than I have time to do than not have enough to do to keep me busy during the course of the day. Then other problems. I'm trying to think of the old quote about idleness. I know that idleness is said to breed contempt, but there's also something that is...
Idle hands are the devil's workshop.
I love that one, yes. Idle hands are the devil's workshop. It seems that we human beings, saved by the grace of God, always function at peak efficiency when we have a focus. When we have a focus to maintain. Now, let me link that back to the notion of the century. There are things that we need to keep in mind concerning that. There are many things that cloud and divert, deflect. There are things that there's a contrast that's explained by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 7 about the things of this world and the things of the Lord. The things of the world, insofar as they are not inherently evil, are probably candidates to be on the do list. But anything that is inherently evil or even suspect should never even appear on the things that you must do. Because I do believe that if you and I occupy our times with the things of the Lord, we'll have more than enough to do. More than enough to do to keep ourselves always in the right direction. whenever, again, and we come back to the concluding remarks that we had last week, that if one is too busy to do the one thing required, and that thing required, Jesus said, is in Matthew 22, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart. If we are too busy to work on that relationship, then again I say, busy becomes God, and we become idolaters. No place that any of us wish to be. Please give that some fair thought, and I hope that it will be an encouragement to you. Our dear Lord,